plate a potential nugget.
How should leaders and organizations think about return on investment when it comes to transition support, right? Let me sort of get to the core of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody says they do transitions, you know, we have our programs. But in your experience, what do they not account for or what do they get wrong when they think about getting help around transitions?
No, absolutely, Deepak. So, I mean, I get up on my soapbox pretty regularly and say, you know, organizations should be accelerating everybody taking new roles, whether they're onboarding from the outside, moving inside, because the research shows pretty consistently that you can get people up to speed in about half the time, fully effective in about half the time, if you do the right things, right? The right things, meaning providing the right kind of support, using the right sort of frameworks and tools. And so there's just this enormous benefit. And if you multiply that across the many transitions that are going on in organizations, and you know, some of our research has suggested that a quarter or more of leaders are taking new roles in large organizations each year, and that pace is only increasing. That's just, you know, it's a huge benefit at both the individual and the organizational level. And then, of course, you know, there's also pretty good research documenting reductions in derailment rates for things like people onboarding, improvements in retention and engagement if you get people sort of connected to the organization early. So there's, you know, there's a rock solid business case basically for doing this. And it continues to surprise me when organizations don't do it.
Mm-hmm. And in your experience, what are the sort of the nuances of transitions that organizations often miss out when they think about supporting leaders? A lot of them, with the right intent, set up some sort of a program. But what are some of the pieces in your mind which often get missed, which are critical?
Sure. So there's a few different layers to that. I mean, there's organizations that still don't really provide decent onboarding support. You know, they may do the cosmetic stuff, the sign up, the provisioning of people, but they don't really do the work of integrating people into the organization. And so it continues to be for those people a sort of sink or swim, you know, kind of experience to some degree. And that surprises me because, you know, there's been so much attention paid to onboarding and, you know, documentation of the value and thoughts about how best to do that. And so that's kind of astonishing at some level. But then if you look at the broader landscape of transition, there's still many organizations that don't really provide much support for people making significant internal moves. And, you know, again, research I've done shows on average, the amount of support given to internal moves is far lower than that given to people onboarding, regardless of how hard those transitions are. And as we sort of go through increasing competition for high potential talent, organizations are pushing people further faster, which is creating more risk, right, in making those kinds of transitions. But still, there doesn't seem to, the connection doesn't seem to have been made that you should be investing in helping those people be successful. And it's not that hard to do. So, you know, this for me is sort of me up on my soapbox, continuing to try to make the case for, you know, investing in everybody making transitions in organizations.
Mm-hmm. And as a practitioner of transition advisory, one of the pieces I find interesting about this kind of work is it's one of those areas where, you know, when you notice it when it's not there, mm-hmm. but when things are going well, somehow it just feels like, it's not noticed when things are going well, when there's good transition support, but yep. you miss it when it's not there. Yep. So what's been your experience in sort of alerting people to the value of transition support? Have you grappled with this issue?
No, for sure. Right. And I think that what's the antidote to that is good research, you know, that basically says, look, yes, you may have people who get it right and just do it naturally, or the situation really is a favorable one. I'm coaching a CEO right now of a big healthcare system in the US, internally promoted, previously the CFO, very accomplished leader. You know, I was brought in basically to by the board to kind of help him make a successful transition. And I'm having to work to find ways to add value to that transition because he's just so good. Now, he still finds it valuable to work with me because I was able to come in and sort of confirm that they'd put the right foundations in place, you know, interact with the board, reinsure the board, and so on. So he sees value in it, right? But when things, you know, go like that, when you've got a highly accomplished person, it's a transition that's not really huge in some senses because he was kind of playing a leadership role anyway before this, it can become less obvious that that sort of support is really valuable. But for every one of those, there are a dozen where people just really struggle, and they struggle unnecessarily. And in some cases, they fail. So, you know, anecdotes are always dangerous, Deepak. The antidote is to look across, you know, the landscape and say, on average, what does the impact of this bring to you as an organization if you decide to make the investment in doing it?
But even going back to that health system CEO that you're working with, Michael, just to maybe stay with it for a couple of minutes. With highly accomplished leaders who have good people skills, who can read, you know, the political context well, have relationships and so on. In those instances, what's the delta value add that a transition coach like you brings? What are the axes of value add? Just to sort of tease out the nuances here.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a great question, right? And I think there are circumstances in which it's very modest, the value that you add. Although what I'm finding in these situations is that even for people in the scenario you described, as they take on, for example, a CEO role, they really do discover that they don't have many places to go to have conversations, take advice. They discover pretty quickly that there are still skill sets. You know, maybe it's managing the board, maybe it's managing external stakeholders that they haven't fully developed. And so it's really, really rare that I don't find I can add, you know, more value than what they're paying for the service. But sometimes it's more subtle, I guess, and sometimes it's just more obvious what the work is that you need to do.
When I work with leaders in transition, I find two or three elements where the leaders often see value in a transition advisor. One, a lot of the recruitment or the internal move often feels like courtship, where people are selling you a role and focused on you accepting the opportunity. And they're focused on the 7 out of 10 reasons why the role makes sense for you and for the organization. No one really spends time on the 3 out of 10 reasons why this might be challenging. Working with somebody outside the system to shine the light on the watchouts as the leader comes in is often helpful. The second element that's often prevalent is that there's a significant suboptimality in the feedback loop for the incoming leader. As the leader is settling in, while people are forming their opinions and observing the leader through the microscope, very little of these observations find their way back to the leader. Some of this feedback could help with early course correction for the leader and help him or her settle in quickly, especially when the stakes are high. The final element is often about creating the mind space for the leader to be thoughtful about the various elements of transition. Settling into the culture, getting into a good rhythm with your boss, taking ownership of the team, and so on. I've often noticed that leaders often get thrown into the deep end and don't have the mind space to zoom out and look at the bigger picture as they settle into a new role. Having somebody to run that as a project for them often keeps the discipline of the various elements of settling into an organization and ensures that the leader allocates the mind space required to ensure that the transition goes well. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You might be specifically interested in the playlist Settling into a New Context. This has perspectives from people from various domains, including what Dr. Ramachandra Guha says about how Gandhiji settled into India and started driving the independence movement when he moved here from South Africa. To access this, please go to the curated playlist page and click on Transitions. Within that, you will find the playlist Settling into a New Context. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.